Thank you, Holly. So today we continue in looking at what it means for us to follow Jesus and taking a closer look at different aspects of Jesus' life, of who he is and what those things mean for us in our daily lives as we follow Jesus. And we started with right after our celebrations of Epiphany, we started with looking again at what it meant for Jesus to be the with us God, to have God, the creator of the whole universe, right here with us. And we learned how Jesus is always stepping closer to us, always stepping closer into our lives and into our world, and leading us deeper and deeper into the world and into each other's lives. We've examined Jesus as our friend because Jesus truly is our friend who laughs with us, cries with us, but also sees in us the potential for who we truly are and who we truly can be, and pushes us, encourages us to be that. We've received healing from Jesus, our caring physician, who cares not only for our bodies or our souls, but all of us, our hearts, minds, our bodies, our spirits. Jesus brings healing to us all completely. And Jesus has also taught us. We have seen how Jesus is the teacher who teaches us how to do the things that he is doing. And today, we look at Jesus as the miracle worker. Because, as I mentioned with the kids, we see throughout the Bible countless amazing, impossible, improbable things that we would never believe possible happening. I mean, Jesus does so many miracles, and there's so many miracles throughout the entire Bible, but Jesus does so many, it's incredible. We heard the story of him beginning to feed the thousands of people who had gathered there to listen to him teach. Jesus fed. He turned water into wine. He walked on water. He, at his voice, raised people from the dead. We even hear that Jesus is such an amazing miracle worker that a woman who had been bleeding for decades wormed her way through the crowd and just touched Jesus' cloak and received healing in her life. The Bible tells us that Jesus felt the power go out from him. Jesus is an amazing miracle worker. He does things that are so hard for us to believe, that seem impossible, improbable, that are amazing, that draw us to him. I don't know anyone who wouldn't love to see firsthand some of those miracles that Jesus performed. It would be amazing to see someone so awe-inspiring, someone so special. But you know, miracles are one of the things that there's some trouble with miracles. There's some difficulties with miracles, especially for preachers. And for all of us, there's some difficulties with miracles. And Jesus even faced some of this in his own life in ministry, that there seems to be some unintended consequences to miracles. You know, if you're a miracle worker like Jesus, people often want to see those miracles and see more of those miracles, and they, you know, they're never really satisfied. They always want to see more and more and more miracles. You know, that's part of what happens to, you know, in the past of people who have done miracle healing revival shows. I've even seen them on TV, some of those televangelists who now have come out and say all this was staged and they paid people to do this, of showing people doing miraculous things on a TV church service, and You always have to do more. If you do one miracle once, what are you going to do the next time to keep the people coming back to you? You know, in the passage in the Gospel of John, takes place the day after Jesus had fed the 10,000 on the hillside. He gets into a boat, goes to the other side of the sea. The people follow him there, and they want to see the next thing that Jesus is going to do. And he says, you're only here because you saw me, because you ate your fill. You had experienced this. But following me means something more, and challenging that eternal, unperishing food, doing the works of God. And even still, the people wanted to see a miracle before they could believe it. So there's a problem for miracle workers, for Jesus, that he faced, is that as he did miracles, people wanted more. And then there's a problem for us who see the miracle, for the witnesses of the miracles. I mean, would you blame the people in the Gospel of John who wanted to see more? It would be incredible. Wouldn't you want to experience this? Wouldn't you want to also know, maybe just prove to yourself, well, maybe it was just a trick of light, like what I did with the spoon today. Maybe it was just my eyes being fooled. I want to really know for sure. Do we believe the miracle, or do we believe the message that Jesus is proclaiming? Do we want Jesus, or do we want the miracle worker? That's a real issue for us to believe. You know, I've had conversations with people who struggle with believing in Jesus because they want a miracle. They've heard the story of someone who had something impossible happen in their life that they can't explain in any other way than it was a miracle. And they said, well, I would believe if I had something like that happen. You know, if I had been there and seen the thousands of people be fed, if I had seen Jesus walking on the water, if I had seen Lazarus walk out of the tomb at Jesus' command, if I had seen that woman be healed, then I would believe. If that happened to me, then I would believe in Jesus. So there's a struggle with miracles for us and our belief and our faith and understanding of who we are. Do we believe and want the miracle, or do we believe in the message and the person of Jesus? And as an institution, as the church, as a human institution and gathered throughout time and space, has often struggled with miracles as well. Because they give us the miracles in the Bible sometimes give us a sense of there's something magical happening, and we can't duplicate it at will or in any sense of control. So sometimes, as a collective whole, we have sought to try to do away with the miracles and not talk about them, just kind of skip over them. You know, and I have to confess, I'm guilty of that as a pastor myself, that I don't want to focus on the miracle, and I don't emphasize just how amazing that might have really been. There's been efforts throughout the history of the church to strip away the miracles of Jesus, to demythologize who Jesus was. And all that has done is just hollowed out the story and the power of the gospel. So there's a problem with miracles. There's a struggle with them. They're great and amazing, but we have to deal with them. But no matter what? It's pretty clear throughout the Bible that the miracles of Jesus are here for a reason and a purpose. They might seem impossible to us. They might seem improbable. They might seem fantastic and maybe just a story, but we still have to deal with them, and they still have an implication for who we are right now as people who strive to follow Jesus. Jesus' miracles shape our lives and what it means for us to follow him. So what does it mean for us to follow Jesus, the miracle worker? Now, as I said again with the kids, it's not magic, it's not a trick. Jesus never tricked anyone when doing a miracle, when doing something that we can't explain, healing, raising someone from the dead, feeding thousands of people, casting out demons and doing all kinds of things, walking on water. None of it was a trick. And often, Jesus' miracles were done quietly and mundanely. They were parts and elements of everyday life. But they were real, and they happened. That's something we need to accept, that part of who Jesus is a miracle worker, not a magician, but to recognize and remember that Jesus is God. Jesus is the fullness of the divine in human form. We need to remember that Jesus is also the one who spoke all things into being, that nothing came into existence without him, and that all things remain through him. So, walking on water, life, breathing life into someone, water into wine, this is nothing out of the ordinary for Jesus the divine. And that is who we follow. It's part of who Jesus is. Now, there's something else about Jesus' miracles that really has extra importance for us, that we hear about in this passage in Matthew, in the feeding of the thousands, that Jesus' miracles quite often are an invitation for us to participate with the divine. Now, there are some miracles that Jesus does that he just does, bringing people back to life, healing. But we've talked about how we can also be a part of healing. But quite often in his miracles, Jesus invites us, invites the disciples, to be a part of making that miracle happen, making it real. We heard in Matthew today, when he looked out at the crowd and it was getting late and the disciples were worried and anxious, how are we going to solve a problem here, Jesus, that we created? How are we going to deal with this? These people are hungry. We have to send them away now. And Jesus turned to them, knowing what he was going to do, and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And the disciples, looking at the problem, looking at the crowds, looking at what they had, said, "There's no way. It's impossible. It is improbable. There is no way that we can feed these people." But Jesus had invited them to be a part of something. And reluctantly, or in disbelief, they gave what they had. And a miracle happened because the people participated, because they gave what they had for Jesus to use. The disciples weren't the miracle workers. Jesus did it. But you know, I think one of the greatest things about the stories of Jesus feeding the thousands with just a few pieces of bread and fish was that likely it was a miracle of multitude. That when one gave what they had, that little boy gave what they had, what he had to Jesus, others gave what they had. And it grew and it grew and it grew until they realized that there was more than enough right there among them. And that is a miracle. That is a miracle when we come together through God and do something that we couldn't imagine possibly happening. You know, have any of you ever had this happen? Something in our family that happens quite a lot is that I love to cook, and I cook dinner for our family a lot. And every so often, one of the kids will ask to help make dinner because they want to speed the process along, or they just want to help make the food. And so when we sit down and eat, they're excited to say, "I helped make dinner." That's what I'm talking about here, is that a miracle happened in this feeding of the thousands. But it happened because the disciples. It happened because people just like you and me were willing to participate in Jesus' invitation to make that miracle a reality. I'm willing to bet that you all have had this happen in your lives in ways that you haven't even realized yet. That you have been a miracle to someone else. Because Jesus does his miracles so often through and with us. Have you ever had someone, maybe in the community or someone in your family or a friend that you've never really thought of, maybe haven't talked to in ages, just pop up into your mind like, "I need to give so-and-so a call." And you call them and they say, "Thank God, I needed to hear from you today." That happens a lot. And you were a miracle for someone else. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is a miracle worker. There are things that Jesus does because he is God that we can't do. But so many of the miracles that Jesus does that still happen today happen because he is always inviting us to participate, to come closer, and to be involved in what he is doing. You know, I hope you actually are picking up on a little bit of a theme of what it means to follow Jesus here. From that, everything that Jesus does is always an invitation closer, an invitation to be a part of what Jesus is doing. Jesus stepped into this world to be with us and draws us closer to our lives. Jesus is our friend that laughs and cries with us, that sees in us potential and encourages us to be more than we could imagine. Jesus is the teacher that teaches us to do the great things that he has done and what it means to love. Jesus brings healing into our lives and invites us to bring healing to others. Jesus is the miracle worker that invites us to be a part of making the miracles happen in this world right here and now. Yes. Yes, miracles are something that we have to deal with. But miracles are also something that we get to be a part of right now. Brothers and sisters, I've mentioned now for several weeks that there are so many things in our world that we need to be a part of. Today, I'm going to say it again. We need to be a part of the miracles that Jesus is doing in our community, in our world right now. We need to be a part of being a miracle to someone who is overwhelmed with how they are going to pay their medical bill. We need to be a part of providing hope and a miracle to a person who is hungry, struggling in poverty. We need to make what seems so common sense, but has been so improbable and impossible throughout our history, of bringing racial equality and justice and understanding and reconciliation to our brothers and our sisters, to ourselves, that we have created so many barriers to our common humanity. God is working. Miracles are happening in all of those. And Jesus is inviting us to make a miracle happen. Maybe in one, maybe in them all. But are we willing to offer ourselves? Are we willing to follow Jesus, the miracle worker, into the impossible, into the improbable, into what we think we can't do? Are we willing to do that? You see, that's what Jesus was asking in the gospel lesson of John. Are we willing to do the work of God right here, right now? Brothers and sisters, I pray that we will make the decision for ourselves before Jesus asks, so that when he does ask, you, Mark, you, Church of the Pines, you give them something that we will say, here, Lord, here we are. Use us to make a miracle happen. Amen.